Brethren, a lot of times we get attacked because we encourage the study of prophecy. Well, there's some very good reasons that people should study Bible prophecy. And we certainly do not do it, as some falsely charge, to instill fear. No, that's about as far removed from fact or truth as it gets. Well, let me give you just a few reasons why we should study prophecy. Number one, prophecy proves the authority of the Word of God. The Bible is different from every other book, certainly different from every other religious book. The books written by false religions or cults try to explain the past. They try to explain the present, but all of them are silent about the future. 25% at least, more than that, probably as much as a third of the Word of God, when it was written, predicted the future, and it has come to pass with 100% accuracy. Just consider the birth of Christ. The time of his birth was given in Daniel 9, the fact of his birth in Isaiah chapter 7, the place of his birth in Micah chapter 5, the details of his life, death, and resurrection are given in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. The fact of his resurrection is given in Psalm 16. And one mathematician has figured out that there is one chance in 87 times 10 to the 93rd power. That's 87 followed by 93 zeros. Nobody can pronounce such a number. There is no way that the Bible could be right on guess alone. It has to be supernaturally inspired. And second, prophecy demonstrates the ability of God to know the future and to control kings and control kingdoms and to see it come to pass. When we consider what Daniel wrote in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, Daniel was given the panorama of the nations that were to come upon the face of the earth after his generation. And he said to Nebuchadnezzar, "You are the head of gold, and after you shall come the breastplate of silver, which was the Medes and the Persians." And then he said, "There shall be the belly of brass, which represented Alexander the Great." And then he told of the iron legs, representing both the eastern and western divisions of the Roman Empire. And now we have both legs. As of this last Passover, there were 10 nations of the old eastern leg finally joined to the European Union. So now we're down to the toes. And then he said, in the final generation are the feet, having 10 toes, representing 10 kingdoms. And there would be a stone cut without hands, speaking of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion, that would come and crush the image and make it fine as powder of the threshing and throw it into the wind. How could anyone know the future except it was God? Who but God could predict the future of kings and kingdoms with 100% accuracy? Bible prophecy proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is in control, that he is in charge. The Bible says that he puts one king up and he puts another down. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Please understand, brethren, the United States government and the United Nations and the Soviet Union and the European Common Market are no challenge for God. He changes their hearts like he changes the course of a river. He is in total charge. Prophecy reveals the purpose of God. God lets us see the future clearly and with confidence. And when you understand what's going to happen, you have assurance and you have peace in the present. God told Abraham the future of Sodom and Gomorrah. In prophecy, he tells us the future of the world. And we're not at the mercy of CNN and CBC or ABC and NBC. God's word has the answer about tomorrow. Bible prophecy is not a doomsday message. It should not promote fear in the life of the believer. And probably more nonsense has been promoted in the name of Bible prophecy than any other single religious subject. And the study of the end times, the eschatological literature today is full of all kinds of wild schemes that are so far removed from what the Bible actually says in context. It's just a testimony of how severe and worldwide this famine for hearing the Word of God really is. Prophecy, brethren, it's not a game. And prophecy games have done nothing but disgrace the noble message of the Bible. Many today are very deeply disillusioned when the fantasies fail to become fulfilled. Prophecy has been hurt by some of its professed professors more than by all of the enemies of prophecy put together. The critical element missing in a lot of modern Bible prophecy teaching is what prophecy is really for. Prophecy is much more than some sort of a mind trip. It's more than mere intellectual exercise. It should be a powerful motivational force in the believer's life. But how is it that we relate the future to the present? What is God's real main purpose for giving us all that we have regarding the future in Bible prophecy? Daniel did a lot more than just study and record prophecy. If you look at Daniel in chapter 9, you see that he got involved with God's predicted plan through intercessory prayer. And that in itself is important. And Daniel was a man of action. He implemented what he saw to be God's purposes through his good works. And there are three elements that Daniel shows us that we should follow after: knowledge, intercession, and action. And all three are necessary if we are to attain this end time victory that God intended by giving us what he has given to us through Bible prophecy. All three: knowledge, intercession, and action. All three of those are necessary if we are going to really realize the purpose for which God gave us this great gift of Bible prophecy. We must know God's plan for the church, and we must intercede for the present benefit of the church and all mankind. And we act positively to implement the purposes of God for this present time and season. And God is looking for participants, not just merely spectators of this end-time drama. And if you're ready to get involved in the dynamics of kingdom living as we move through this process of time toward the day of Christ's return, if you are, then you will be moved to get involved in this knowledge, to get more knowledge so that you can be a wise intercessor and put things into action and be part of what God is doing. He invites his people to become involved. We don't treat prophecy as just some mere set of mental gymnastics. Everybody that does that ends up getting trapped in the sensationalism of, can you top this? And then you might as well just go ahead and read science fiction. It's going to do you just about as much good. But what we do is we come against, we repudiate the fantasy approach to end-time prophecy. Prophecy, when it's properly understood, encourages faith, courage, and hope. It's the highest motivational factor to get us involved in God's work right here and now. And believing what God said does not make one an escapist. Believing what God said regarding the prophetic scriptures causes us to be more effective in evangelism, more effective in winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, more effective in doing those things that will lay up an eternal weight of glory. Brethren, we're living in a time that has a very charged atmosphere like Daniel saw in his time, even more so. The very atmosphere is charged with an electrical excitement. What Daniel saw was oppressed Israel about to go free. Prophecy is on the verge of being fulfilled. And the 70 years that Daniel saw of that bitter bondage was about over. And Daniel was almost overwhelmed when he made that enormous discovery in studying the scrolls of Jeremiah and Isaiah. That long dark night of Israel's slavery was about to end, and it was coming soon. And we should be like Daniel. And if Daniel had reacted like many prophecy students today, the mere discovery of that great truth with that thrilling element of anticipation would have ended the matter right then and there. It's so wonderful. So Lord, I'll just wait and see what happens. In the meantime, I got to get to work in this practical world. Well, Daniel kept on doing his work. Yes, knowledge of the future is satisfying, and it is valuable. And knowing God has a plan assures us that what we are doing now is not merely muddling through. Our life has a purpose, and that purpose is really amplified, especially in this time when we look at what God said through his prophets. There are real and eternal goals. And Daniel was thrilled to know that another exodus of the Jews was about to take place. And throngs of Jews would be making that trip out of Babylon, over across the sands of the desert, making their way back to the Holy Land, to the Holy City, to the task of rebuilding the temple of God. And brethren, what is decreed by the Almighty will be done. There's no doubt about that. But for Daniel, it was not the end of the matter. There was something for him to do. And it's the same for us. One of the strangest revelations of truth unfolded to Daniel. Daniel was moved to do something about the prophetic understanding that he had received. But many would ask, what can you do about prophecy? If God predicted it, after all, what will be, que sera, sera. But there's more to it, brethren, and I know you see it, and I thank God that you do see that there's much more. Yes, many would say, what could mere mortals do or add to God's divine plan? But you see, brethren, that's where it starts. One, especially today, cannot be a fulfilled Christian without some knowledge of Bible prophecy. Over a third of the Bible is set in terms of prophecy. How can we ignore such a major portion of what God has to say to us about the future? Daniel was a scholar. Appreciation and application and implementation of Bible prophecy begins with knowledge of the subject. And I'm not saying that you have to become some expert on eschatology to get involved with God's prophetic purposes. And I'm not saying that you have to be an intellectual to understand prophecy. But you do have to use your mind. You do have to study the Word. And Paul encouraged Timothy. He says, meditate on these things. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For one who is not studying the word of God is not approved unto God. And I know you guys know that, and I thank God for that. Someone who is not studying the word of God is not approved unto God. And they should be ashamed. And sometimes we even make them ashamed. And I don't think there's wrong with that. I think that's love. I think that's what they should be. According to the word of God, they should be ashamed of their ignorance rather than being proud of their ignorance. And the remedy for ignorance is simple. You begin today to read your Bible. And, you know, all it takes is 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sabbath to take you through the whole Bible in 1 year's time. 8 hours a day for 7 days would just about take you through the full Bible. And if you're not reading it, we can listen to it on cassettes. But people today should just literally be saturating themselves with the Word of God. And we should all be striving for mastery in the Word of God. And Daniel understood by studying the prophecy of Jeremiah that that awful captivity of the Jews in Babylon was almost over. And most students of prophecy would have just stopped right there. The intellect had been satisfied, and that would be enough for most people today. And I thank God you all are not like that. It is comforting to know that God has a plan and that He's in control. And it is stimulating to realize that a part of the fulfillment of the overall scheme of things is going to unfold very soon. But prophecy is more than knowledge. It's more than a mind trip. God's program is not a table game or some sort of spectator sport. He wants us to get involved in His work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the church of all ages calls everyone to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But what can be done about prophecy, you might ask? Is it presumption to touch that which is predestined? Or is there something we've missed? Well, it really is a great mystery. But Daniel learned the plan of God and then proceeds to get involved through intercessory prayer. He said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth. And most of chapter 9 tells what Daniel's prayer and confession of national sins and how he pleaded with God that God would fulfill His announced plan for the release of Israel from that Babylonian captivity. Why did Daniel feel it was necessary to pray about something that would be accomplished anyway, since God had prophesied it through Jeremiah? Oh, brethren, this is so fantastic if you get hold of it. You see, that destination was clearly marked, but it's possible that there's more than one route that can be traveled in reaching that final goal. You see, God had predestined certain events, and these events are described in Bible prophecy, and they will not be changed. That much of the future is cast in concrete. We know that there's a tribulation time coming. We know that there's going to be a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be able to know about the time of the Lord's return. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. It'll overtake the world and 98% of the church as a thief in the night. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you. Our Father in heaven knows the very day and hour. Hallelujah. But some say we're not even to inquire about it. I don't know where they get that from. Why would God tell us all of this if we weren't supposed to know something about it? That makes no sense to me. And yet there are so many people out there saying that very thing and trying to present themselves as some sort of a prophecy expert or even a prophet themselves. But brethren, not everything in our future is predestined. This is where free will comes into the picture, brethren. It is predestined that there will be an election of those who are saved and a damnation of those who are lost, but everyone will choose which one of those groups they will end up in. It is predestined that Christ will return. But our prayers and our deeds, our good works, will determine many details of the future from now until that last trumpet. Now, we're totally different than the occultist. The occultist tries to use magical and supernatural forces to manipulate or create a future scenario. But us Christians are exactly the opposite. We are seeking to find out what the will of God is, and then to cooperate with that revealed will of God, fully knowing that the will of God is frequently not done in this rebellious world. But the trumpet is going to sound one day, and then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take over completely. Glory to God. And then we will have our assignments and we'll know them with absolute clarity and certainty. But in this time of testing, those who make the right response to Bible prophecy are going to be very glad that they did. And in the meantime, He has put us in a stewardship role and responsibility in this present world. And we want to be sure that we're not working against His will. That's what we want to be sure of. That we are working along with, that we know what His will is, and we're going in the direction, and we're doing what He gives us and reveals to us to go in that direction of His will being revealed and being accomplished, and that we can be absolutely certain that we're not working against His will. And we certainly don't want to change His will. We want to know His will, and we want to pray and go along in accordance with that will. We want to know His will and cooperate with His will. We want to be partners in this with Him. And He invites us. That's what prophecy is all about. God is literally inviting us to be partners with Him in the fulfillment of these things. And we're not working for God. We're working with Him. Satan would like nothing better than for the church to be passive and not get involved in the intercession and in the work to be done. And then he could have a field day, and that's what he's doing. But as we approach the end of this age, either your faith works or you don't have faith that's going to stand. Faith and works, you just can't separate them. And faith will have works if you've got faith that works. And that faith is going to determine the quality of life and degree of liberty that we experience to fulfill God's will in our time. And brethren, we cannot fail now. It's much too important. Much is at stake. And I hope you can see that God is inviting us to enter into a partnership in this grand fulfillment of His will, if we will be diligent and study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not to be ashamed. I hope that y'all are excited about Bible prophecy. To me, there's nothing more exciting in this world than to see all of these things which were written 2,000, 24, 25, 26, 2,700 years ago literally coming to pass before our very eyes. I just cry sometimes when I think about the people that don't have a clue about what's happening, instead of getting them involved. And God literally invites people to become His partner in this. And it is so glorious. And I thank God that you brethren, though you might be few, I think you see it that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.